How many good mornings do we go through on a given Sunday morning? I'm going to start with our scripture reading. And you can see in the bulletin that we are reading from Mark chapter 6 from verse 45 to 52. If you have your Bibles, if you could flip there, I'll give you a quick moment. This is a story we all know, so it should be fairly easy to follow along with. And a lot of you probably have this committed to memory, but I will read it out for you. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they saw him and were terrified. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can be here and to continue worshiping you together in this community. I just pray that as I give this little sermon lecture, that you would just empower me to be able to say what you want to communicate today. And I hope that we can understand more of who you are through your word. I pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. New roommates can always be an anxiety because you don't know what to expect. However, as time passes and you live with somebody for a while and they do routinal things and they do the same things over and over, you expect them to be a certain way. So then these things that they do, they become normal. I had this one roommate and he lived very differently from me. He was from Santa Barbara, in California. So he always did the California thing. He would put up his hammock in the middle of the dorm, and you're like, what is this thing doing here? He would longboard in the kitchen. Like he gets in the way. He always, used his dude vernacular, right? So, dude. And, he'd always eat his avocados all the time. And there would be the occasional stuffed giraffe that would just be sitting on the kitchen table. Like, why? Why? But as time passed, I expected these things eventually. Oh, he's longboarding in the kitchen again. Oh, there's the hammock again. Oh, sup, Scurvy, the giraffe. This became normal, and I expected it. So there was no shock every time I saw it. But then, one day in the school year, it was late in the school year, I came home from class, and I saw that there was no hammock, no longboard, no giraffe, just Kevin eating potato chips, my potato chips, by the way, on the couch. And it doesn't take a genius to know that there was something wrong in Kevin's life. So I asked him, "Hey, man. Something wrong?" Christians care because Jesus cares. And Mark's account of Jesus walking on the water shows that Jesus cares for his people. The story starts with Jesus sending the disciples away to go ahead of him to Bethsaida while Jesus goes and he goes and prays for a little while. Now, if you guys have read through the Gospels, there's this motif about how when Jesus and the disciples are separated for a length of time, things tend to go south. Things tend not to go very well for the disciples. And verse 48 points that out. The disciples are caught in a windstorm. And from what the text implies, they had been fighting this windstorm for quite a while. According to some biblical commentaries, the boat ride to Bethsaida, it should have only have taken them 4 hours, about. So if we made an estimation of, let's see, this happened right after the feeding of 5,000, we can assume that they were eating dinner. Let's say dinner is about 6 to 7, so let's say everything finished around 7:30. If the boat ride only took 4 hours, they should have gotten there by 11:30. But the text says that they were fighting the storm till the fourth watch of the night, which was about 3 a.m. So at least 4 additional hours, they're still on the boat fighting this windstorm. So they've been at it for a while. Now here's something important to note, is that the audience, when Mark was writing this, they would have known about Peter and the rest of the disciples because these guys were like the church superstars, right? These guys, you know, based on the book of Acts, they had been, you know, leaders of the church for a while. There's been lots of controversy, you know, against with the persecution that was happening from the Romans, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of the audience of the book of Mark, they would have known that, oh yeah, Peter and them are going to probably make it out of the storm fine, right? We know who these guys are. We can talk to them about this event. So the audience already knew that the disciples were going to make it out of the storm in one piece. But that's not what this text is about. Now, of course, there's the whole thing about Jesus walking on the water. And there's been many discussions about Jesus' superpowers of defying the laws of nature. And while I like me a good discussion of supernatural powers, that's not what I'm talking about either. At least today, anyway. What I want to focus on is how this passage displays Jesus' care for his disciples through Peter, the disciples, and by extension to us. Verse 48, there's a lot in verse 48. Verse 48 tells us a few things about how Jesus cares for us. The first is that Jesus sees us in our struggle. The Bible's not clear about how he saw this. It's not clear how he saw that the disciples were in danger. Maybe it was prophetic foresight while he was praying. Maybe he looked over at the Lake of Galilee and said, huh, looks like there's a storm brewing over there. Guess I should go help the guys out down there. Or maybe while he was praying, the north wind came by, and that was an indicator, all right, it's time to go. We don't know how he saw that the disciples were in need. But what is important is that Jesus sees the disciples. And he sees that they are in need of help, so he does what he does. He goes and helps them. We go through life and its struggles often thinking that we are alone in life. And we think that, you know, Jesus is off somewhere doing his thing and here we are fighting life alone. Even when it is God's call, when God calls us to say evangelism or ministry or whatever God calls us, we have those moments that we feel that we're separated from Jesus. And when this as this happens, all the hardships of life come. Just the way it is. However, as Jesus saw that Peter and the group were in danger, he sees you in your struggles now. He sees you in the storms of your life. In the next part of verse 48, just going to find it quickly for myself, he walks toward them. He starts walking toward them on the water. The important thing to note is that Jesus is walking to them. Okay. Like every other biblical narrative, you read through like Abraham, Moses, David, and all those guys, God goes to them. He comes to them God goes to a people or to a particular person. If you read John 1:14, this is what is emphasized, that, you know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It came to us. And part of what Jesus does in this, in his earthly ministry, is that he meets people where they are at. Not after they've met some kind of antiquated prerequisite. You can think of like the Zacchaeus story in the book of Luke. It's not like Jesus waited for him to clean up his life first. No, Jesus met him as he struggled to see Jesus on top of a tree. And here we have in the story of the storm, it's not like Jesus went to the disciples partway as he was walking on the water and said, "Man, that storm looks bad. I'll see you guys at Bethsaida at 7. See ya." No, he doesn't do that. He comes to them in the storm, in the middle of the storm, because he cares for them. Now, taking contrast, the other storm story, there's two of them in the book of Mark, the other one in Mark 4. Here we have the disciples are fighting a storm again, and here we have Jesus sleeping in the middle of this storm. And the disciples freak out, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" as they wake him. They questioned whether Jesus actually cared whether they lived or died. Because the fact of the matter is, a fisherman in a boat knew that when there was a windstorm, it could mean death. They questioned whether he really cared if they lived or died. So here in Mark 6, that question is answered without a doubt, that Jesus cares for them because now he comes to them in their time of trouble. We are like the disciples, in that we question whether God really cares for us, whether we live or die. It is easy to think that as we go through failures, deaths, heartbreaks, that God really doesn't care about our trivial human affairs. But think of it this way: if Jesus really didn't care, it would not have mattered if the disciples had died in the storm. After all, he's Jesus. He can just pick out 12 new ones. That wouldn't be hard for him to do. But Jesus walking on the water, this story tells us that he goes through all sorts of lengths to comfort his disciples, including defying the laws of physics by walking on the water. Now, what kind of inspired me to do this sermon was reading the last part of verse 48. And it's kind of a really strange statement. I'll read it again. He meant to pass by them. Why does Mark include this? Now, I earlier referred to the fact that the audience of the story, when Mark was writing this in the first century, they would have already known that the disciples were going to make it through the storm fine. We could also argue that Jesus had foresight of the future. So he already knows that they're going to be fine. They'll make it through the storm. I often give the impression that I'm an uncaring person. When I see my friends struggle with their homework and essays and stuff like that, and I tend not to help. I'll just be like, "Yeah, you know, you guys keep doing your work. You guys will be fine, right? You guys are more than capable of handling it. That's why you went to university, right? You guys are more than capable of doing this yourself." And when Jesus sends us to do ministry work in our lives, he equips us in that we should be able to handle it ourselves. God trusted everyone he called. Think of Adam and Eve. He trusted them with the garden. There's even parts where he's not even with them as they just walked around in the garden. Of course, you know, you can easily argue that, well, we need Jesus all the time because look how well Adam and Eve did. One snake changed everything. But the idea is that God trusted them enough. And we could say that, yeah, God equipped them enough that they should be able to handle things on their own, at least for a time. And you could say that could be the case here with the disciples in this boat, in this storm. Oh, they should be able to handle themselves. One, they're experienced fishermen. Two, they've been hanging around with Jesus for a while. They should be one storm shouldn't be a big deal. However, Jesus turned his attention to the disciples. Even though he may have wanted to go straight to Bethsaida, what this verse says, at least how I read it, is that Jesus goes out of his way to meet us in our storms. This is the care that Jesus shows us. And this care shows us how much he loves us. Because honestly, Jesus probably has so many better things to do than to deal with our trivial lives. But he goes out of his way to meet us in the storms of our lives. How blessed are we then that we have access to a relationship with Jesus who cares for us so deeply? When Jesus gets onto the boat, the storm ceases. And when Jesus comes into our lives, those storms, they calm down. Because we have a peace in Jesus that is greater than any storm. We can have peace in our hectic, storm-filled lives because Jesus cares about us even in the trivialness of life. Verse 50 gives us Jesus' caring words. Take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. Think about what things you need to think about in life. Family, work, community commitments, personal commitments, those crazy upcoming events that you may have, battles with struggles, with sinfulness in our lives. Think about those things for a moment. Now, sure, you can say some things are less hectic than others, but these things can quickly add up and build a storm in your life. After all, storms don't just appear out of nowhere. For any geography majors here, you know that usually it just starts with some low-pressure warm air coming from one direction and some high-pressure cool air coming from another direction, and then they meet, and then something doesn't mix, so then they start spinning around. And then that's how a storm occurs. Sometimes it may be a tornado. Sometimes it's a huge hurricane. But it all starts with something small. Just a little breeze from the wrong direction. And we all have those in our lives. But in the midst of your life storm, reflect on the words of Jesus. Take heart. I am. Do not be afraid. These are Jesus' words for you to show you that he cares for you even in the midst of the storm when you cannot see anything else. Brittany rejected me. Oh! I really wanted to say, oh, you don't say. You know, because I can be uncaring like that. She said she wasn't ready for a relationship. What I really wanted to say was, yeah, her and every other career-driven woman in a Christian university. But of course I didn't say that. That would just be plain mean, right? Oh, that's a shame, Kevin. Sorry things didn't work out for you. Is this the part when you say, I told you so? No. No, I said as I opened my arms and Kevin embraced me and cried on my shoulder. It's one of those rare moments where, you know, a grown man embraces another and allows himself to shed tears. It's one of those rare moments. No, that goes without saying. Christians care because Jesus cares. And whatever storm you may be going through now, know that Jesus cares for you so much that he died on the cross for your sins so that you can have a restored relationship with God. You may not see that in the midst of the storm that you are in now, but that is how much Jesus cares for you. The fact of the matter is that you have friends that are also struggling with storms in their lives. Because, let's be honest, anyone who says that they don't have storms in their lives is probably a liar. And Jesus is walking toward them as well. But the problem is that, you know, these family and friends, they may not know Jesus. And when they see that Jesus is coming to them, they may perceive it as a ghost, like the disciples did. In verse 49 and the first part of verse 50, the disciples were terrified when they saw Jesus. They were terrified when they saw him walking on water because they did not know it was him. That's why they assumed it was a ghost. Jesus wants to bring us all peace. Sometimes we are confused by the winds to believe that we are haunted by a ghost instead, when it is really Jesus entering into our lives. But as we, as Christians, can care for others because Jesus cares for all of us, we have the truth given to us here in the Word. And in that truth, we can be confident about how we face the storms in our lives, and also to introduce and show people Jesus in the midst of the storms of our friends' lives. We can reveal Jesus to others as he brings a peace that calms all storms. Let's pray.